third base, the hit out.
Third base, third base.
You already know it's your boy, Mr. Hurt Lot. Ladies, this one's for you.
Bringing you those jams.
You would have to be crazy to not like something.
Buy it now on Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, and more.
I used to just do it on Android. Now everybody got the iPhone. All y'all got the iPhone, so ain't no excuse.
This is the Nonstop Working Podcast.
A lot of people think I'm from the hood.
This is where we living at, y'all.
Holding it down for anchor.fm/215.
Determining that it's something beyond.
Some people have footage.
We're on our way to 1 million or more.
Like
some people might not have footage at all, you know.
Nonstop working, working.
They have naturalized poverty.
You can also find Nonstop Working on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's going down? Excuse me. It's your man, Mr. Hurry, live and in full effect, holding it down for anchor.fm/215, the Nonstop Working Podcast. That's right, Philadelphia's number one independent podcast, DAUS, the Divine Artistic United Society. Shout out to everybody who's been visiting our website, www.daus.me. Excuse me, guys. Where we're nonstop working. All right, sounds a little better. Yeah, it's another wonderful day, man. I can't complain at all. We've been killing it all week and all month. We've been loving the feedback we've been getting from you guys. You know, and again, shout out to everybody who's been visiting our website, www.daus.me. We definitely appreciate it. We still have more updates in store, so stay tuned in. You guys have been helping us out greatly, though. Okay, we're trending in over 60 countries now. That's right. Nonstop Working Podcast is trending in over 60 countries right now. Yeah, you can't believe that, right? That's right. France is second. There's the United States, then there's France. So shout out to France for getting high up on the leaderboard. You know, I would love to know where exactly in France the plays are coming from and what people are thinking. So if you're a listener and you're in France, you know, definitely get in contact with us as best as possible. We want to know what you guys are thinking about the show from there. We see the numbers are growing from France, so definitely keep tuning in. But yeah, reach out to us, okay? If you're in France, we want to hear from you. All right, but trending in over 60 countries. We really can't sneeze at that. You know what I mean? We got to say shout out to my man D Money for holding it down. He's been promoting the Nonstop Working Podcast on his platforms as well. So we got to be thankful for that. He's been doing a really good job too at growing his audience and keeping everyone engaged. Engaged. Excuse me. He's been doing a good job. Keeping up with the streaming, posting, and also he's been on tour, still producing content, but he's touring with the battle rap. He's talking to different folks in different cities and connecting different dots, so that's paying off for my man. Gotta say shout out to him. I'm gonna play a little bit of a recording that we were both involved with yesterday. We both were a part of. So shout out to D-Money and also Pink Lee of Cold Green Media. She's just been recently doing her Words of Wisdom segments. You can hear those on YouTube, and you guys know we've been promoting them here with the Nonstop Working Podcast and also within our segments over at the Swint Network. So she's just been doing a phenomenal job at growing her platform there on YouTube, Words of Wisdom. And she's also recently just been doing lives to go with it. So I was able to tune into her live video the other night. D Money showed up there, so it was like a family reunion. You guys know myself and D Money and Pink, we go back some time. We've been working early as DAUS, and back when Pink was Cold, Pink Lee Cold Green, just Cold Green. Yeah, was it more than a Pinky Lee of Cold Green? I believe it was a Cold Green. Yeah, well, you know, but she's grown now. She's Cold Green Media, Pink 2Ks, and she's doing the lives, doing a bit of positive promotion. We're in a time right now where everything's ratchet this and ratchet that, you know. The powerhouse just happened. Everybody's talking about the powerhouse. I have a little bit of one of my homies and OGs. He's talking and expressing his feelings a bit about the powerhouse thing. So I'm going to play a little bit of that. But she's doing what she can do to help women and young ladies see things a little bit differently. A little bit different from what they might see in the mainstream world. So she's doing what she can to make a positive impact, and we have to support that, fellas. We do, because we're talking about how necessary it is. So she's doing that. We have to support that. All right. But I want to play a little bit of her live really fast so you guys can hear it. You know, me and D Money, we jumped in that joint and mobbed in that real fast, because that's what you got to do. But here it is. This is,
you know, like I said, you stunt your growth before you even have, like, get the opportunity.
This is the live from,
and that's the biggest thing, because I always say,
this is yesterday, I believe. Yeah, yesterday's live. She's discussing,
right? So if you're not growing, you're dying, and you're stunning your
she's
own
talking about
thing, that's is that not
lying to oneself,
like,
and exaggerating.
Tell me how it's not. If you're in the comments right now, please tell me how it's not. I would love to know. But I don't think anybody could even explain why, because it's not a thing. Like, it's just not a thing. I'm sorry. Self-sabotage is you standing in the way of your growth so you can be the best person you can be. Self-sabotage is having actions that may not be the best, you know, not making the best decisions. If we're consciously aware of what we're doing and who we are, what we're saying, and what we're trying to become, I know for a fact that it'll be easier, but it's just a matter of getting there. So that's kind of where everyone's at right now, and that's what,
right,
you know, Words of Wisdom, the journey's all about, right?
Because I'm queued up right here, but
take control of your life.
I left
take
the chat
control
and came back
of
in because
your
I wanted
mindset,
to select
because your mindset is going to have a big effect.
I wanted
on
to
how
choose for my camera to be on.
How everything trickles down.
So I had to leave out of there. Let me see. Let me go forward. So here's where D Money jumped in.
The goal is,
and you make
dope. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Okay. I'm good.
Well, that's facts. Like, once you have to. It's so crazy because I'm literally sitting here just like talking about the song Level Up. Yeah, if you know, you know my song Level Up. Like, you really have to be the change you want to see. Like, honestly, like, if you don't make excuses to yourself and you tell yourself, no, I'm not accepting that from myself, then you're not going to do it to other people and give it to other people, because it's not going to be habit. It's not even going to be something you do. It's not a thing.
Just move forward.
Yeah, I feel like some people just maybe fear the fact of being apart from people, because listen, the truth of the reality is when you start feeling success towards your journey, you know, naturally you're
so this is D Money, he jumped in the chat,
yourself away from people, and it's not by purpose. It's sometimes it's just the way God made it to be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's it's good with it. H
oh I think that's there I am when, now I'm in there.
You know, I think that's what some people fear as well, is that aspect as well, is growing apart from people. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
Each in the building. This feels
like a reunion.
D Pace so out here. Pink 2Ks.
2Ks or
Hey, Mula B, you see her?
Yeah, I see her. Like, I'm like, this is
Yeah.
I'm
like super happy. Like, I'm super happy,
really. Yeah.
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 I came a long way.
Shout out to Moonstone. Shout out to Uncle Sal. You know what I mean? We got big, big folks in the building, big names in the building. Yeah.
Hey. So, Herd, you're the perfect person to ask about this. Give me just some takes on excuses for you. Because we're talking about this episode, episode 74. We lit. Listen, we strong. And we're going even harder about, we're really focusing on the last couple episodes. I've been focusing on holding ourselves accountable in the different ways that pops up. So this one is about excuses. How excuses, I believe, undermines accountability in a person. You know, it shows fear in them, lack of accountability. It shows that they're willing to stunt their growth before it even starts, all those things. So give me some of your outlook on some things, because I know you're a nonstop working type person. So it's like, it can't be no excuses when it's nonstop working going on.
you hit very interesting points, solid points. And I think we can add that sometimes it's due to ignorance, out of ignorance, that one makes excuses. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing things. And then we can get into lying, like you talked about. And one of the common lies that people tell is or use is omission. You know, omission is when you kind of leave out things. So a kid goes to school and he gets in trouble and he had detention and he goes home. Mom says, how was your day, honey? He says, oh, it was good, Mom. Everything was fine. But in fact, he got in trouble. He was in detention. You know what I'm saying? But he just left that out. He's alive. He's breathing. But he just omitted that stuff. We kind of can do that to ourselves, not tell our own selves the whole truths of a matter. And sometimes that can be, like you said, out of fear and those things. But it can also just be out of sheer ignorance, not knowing that you're doing that. We can also say that sometimes people are just omitting things intentionally. So it can go both ways. You know, sometimes a person can be not telling, they could be avoiding telling themselves that they're not working hard enough in certain areas on purpose.
Wow, yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
That's a thing, for sure.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I definitely feel like that needed to be said. That's huge, actually.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually, like, that's probably one of the more common ones, because it's easy to look over, because it's easy not to get mentioned. It's easy to just kind of be like, ooh, well, that was out of here. We didn't really touch on that. It's so easy to do that, but that's a huge one. That's super.
And this is why being honest and telling the truth is so powerful. It's a hard thing to live by. It takes an amount of courage. However, I find that it is the most rewarding. If you can muster up the courage in life to be truthful, honest first, the rewards are endless. But it does take, again, it takes courage to face that, you know, to tell a person the truth, to tell yourself the truth, to, in matters, deal with the truth only. That takes courage. That takes courage.
Yeah. It does. I definitely just talked about this. I want to say episode six, so like maybe like five or six episodes ago. It was always tell the truth, and it was like I had basically said touched on some of that, but I was also touching on the fact that, like, you know, it's so easy to tell that little white lie, right, or that little untruth, or that halfway truth. It's easy because we're not thinking about what we're doing. For real. Like, when we become more conscious and more aware of, like, our actual steps of, like, or, like, our actual motion before we do it, our actual words before we say them, that sort of thing, when we become more aware, then we're less likely to lie, because we're thinking, you know what I mean? You're almost mustering up the courage to do so. You're almost thinking the thought process through. Like, once you think it through, you know that it ends better in the truth, right? So before you tell the lie, just have that many little situations to talk within your head, like, what do I want the outcome to be? And when the outcome becomes this, like, this is how I know that you know what I mean? This is how I know I did the right, you know what I mean? This is the way I should go. You know, I'm going to end up in truth. But it's that time that, you know, you think about it, that you kind of muster up the courage or like think it out like, no, this is the right thing for me to do. So it takes the discipline and the awareness to sit there and think about what you're going to say before you say it. Think about what you're going to do. Yeah. So that was definitely like something. Yeah. That was something that we just talked about. And it's
all. So, you know, that's us. In the live with Pink 2Ks. You know what I'm saying? I encourage you guys, if you want to hear the full segment, you know, you can check out Words of Wisdom. All right, by liking, subscribing, and sharing on YouTube. All right, you go Pink Lee, P-I. Oh, excuse me. It's Hi Pink Lee on YouTube. All right. So you go over to the Hi Pink Lee to find the Words of Wisdom segments. Okay. I encourage you guys to do that. And yeah, like I said, if you want to hear the full segment, me and Muda B were chopping it up for a nice little bit there with Pink Lee. Very cool. I'm looking forward to the next one. So hope to see you guys there. Also, head on over to Backstory Battle League. All right. Where D Money is doing his thing. And pull up to those live. To those lives. We want you guys to subscribe. And hit that bell for notifications. So you guys can receive the notifications for when Backstory Battle League is going live. And we want you guys to pull up to that live. You know what I'm saying? Chop it up with some folks in the chat. Meet some folks, you know. Yo, this is what it is. If you haven't realized. You know what I'm saying? People are connecting now virtually. Building virtually, you know, Dame Dash just shouted a player out. I've been promoting the America New Network, which is his network. He has the app. You guys can download the app at your Google Play Store for free, and you can stream the content from the Dash Group. For all of you guys looking for opportunities to expose yourself to get on with some players in the game, I encourage you to check out America New Network and see what you can find out about how you can be involved in creating content or being in one of their productions or a part of their production team, you know. But go do that. Okay, guys, this is the time now to really spread your wings and flap them. Spread those wings and flap them. You know what I'm saying? So it's so much that I really want to talk to you about. All right. You know, we got all kind of stuff going on right now. We were talking to you guys about the law, natural law. We're talking to you guys about Hawaii and the United States. And we've been talking to you about post-millennium and the proper argument for the restoration of a people as opposed to reparations. And we've been talking about these different things. We've introduced you guys to Abdullah Bey. We've been talking with him over at the Swint Network. And I've been coming across just more and more potent information that I want to share with you guys. And I've been having to take some time out and put some thought into considering how best to present this information. So it can't go too fast. However, today I want to talk with you guys about a little bit about that Malaysian flight. You guys remember that Malaysian flight? The Malaysian flight? The one that crashed and nobody could find? Remember the plane? It was flying and it crashed and then went missing. Nobody's been able to find that. Well, I came across some information that was very intriguing. Okay, so it's talking about that flight. And they said, well, you know, that airplane crashed right near Diego Garcia. So you know that, right? I said, no, I didn't know that. What does that mean? Guys, for some reason, my headphones feel low. Hang tight. Hello, hello. Hello, hello. No, that doesn't help. Hello. Hello. Hello, hello. Hello. Is that the cable? Well, maybe it's the cable. Hello. Hello. Testing, testing. Testing, testing. Yeah, all right. I guess that's all right. It's a little better. Mic just sound a little low. Okay, but yeah, you guys remember that Malaysian flight? You know, well, you know, I came across someone and said, well, you know that Malaysian flight? I'm like, yeah. I was like, well, you know, it crashed near this place called Diego Garcia. I said, okay, and why is that important? I said, well, Diego Garcia is controlled by the United States military. I said, what? Now, I didn't know that, so we were all wondering. Everybody's wondering, yo, how could a whole plane go missing? Right? And then you get word that where the plane allegedly crashed is a United States military base. Why wouldn't something like that be mentioned early on or in the initial reports, right? If that whole plane crashed and it was near the United States territory, right? Especially a Air Force or naval base or military base, they would absolutely be the first and arguably the only people who would approach any sunken vessels, crash vessels, right? Right? If there was a crash near the United States military base or a United States military base, they would, in fact, right, be the first to respond to something like that, right? They would have most intel, right? You know, if a plane went missing in an area that was controlled by United States military or, you know, any military force, wouldn't an intelligent person arrive at the potential of that craft being brought down by that nearby military? It's very interesting, right? And then I thought to myself as well, in doing the research, I said, how come I haven't heard of Diego Garcia before? Why is it that I've never heard of it? Now, I want you guys to remember, when we're talking about Hawaii, there's where Pearl Harbor occurred, right? So in Hawaii is United States military presence. There was a United States military presence in Hawaii, right? And then here in this place referred to as Diego Garcia is military occupation, right? And I said, well, why don't I know or why don't we hear anything about that? Why don't we hear anything about that? And I found some interesting stuff, right? When I looked into Diego Garcia, and I'm going to share some of that with you. First, I want to give you guys just a reminder of this Malaysian flight. Okay. Recap some of that just so you know it happened. Let's see what this one says here. This is a video here. It says Malaysia flight 370's disappearance explained. Let's see what this says.
Potential onboard suspects. reports and some terrifying sightings on the day of the disappearance. Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 seemingly disappeared without a trace, and so many mysteries remain. It goes without saying that it's extremely concerning for a commercial airplane to mysteriously vanish, seemingly into the blue while full of passengers, when that plane is a Boeing 777 fitted with all the high-end tracking and navigation technology the 21st century has to offer. It's more than a little sketchy. Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 was carrying 239 people when it disappeared in March 2014. The flight left Kuala Lumpur, the capital of Malaysia, and was supposed to land in Beijing. Within an hour, the plane lost contact, without giving any indication as to what might be happening on board, and without sending a distress signal. On the day that Flight 370 vanished, several people across a vast area stretching from Southeast Asia to the Maldives claimed to have seen the aircraft, and none of the accounts sounded like the flight was going according to plan. Most described an aircraft flying extremely low. Mike McKay, a worker on an offshore oil rig near Vietnam, told CNN that he observed an object in the sky that was on fire. In Indonesia, the state news agency reported that there were sightings of a crash from local fishermen. The disappearance is considered one of the biggest aviation mysteries to happen this millennium, and it continues to boggle investigators. A multitude of theories have been suggested regarding what might have happened to Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 and the 239 people who were on board when the plane vanished into thin air.
It's all consistent with somebody who wanted to simply vanish from the face of the earth and make sure that the ultimate crash site was never found.
In 2020, Malaysian leadership suggested that Flight 370's disappearance might have been a murder-suicide, but it was unclear who could have allegedly perpetrated it. If it was a terrorist hijacking, for instance, many thought that an organization would come forward and claim the tragic incidents, but no one did. Another proposed theory suggested that the plane's disappearance could have been an attack by malicious hackers. Jeff Wise's book, The Plane That Wasn't There, suggested that hackers only could have taken control of the plane via satellite link. They would have needed to put the plane into autopilot and take it off course, while also stopping the pilots from resuming control. As a result, this theory lacks credibility, as there weren't many possibilities to exploit the flight system, especially as the plane's satellite link went down before it disappeared. Because of the unlikelihood of this scenario playing out, investigators concluded that the person or people responsible for Flight 370's disappearance had to be on board when the plane vanished. The Malaysia Airlines tragedy changed aviation by forcing the aviation industry to adopt new measures that could have prevented the disaster in the first place. Possibly the most crucial change instituted by the International Civil Aviation Organization of the United Nations was to create a technology that could track flights globally from orbit, no matter how remote the location. Aireon, the company responsible for the new technology, uses 66 satellites to cover the entire planet. The CEO of Aireon told CNN, "This will be the first time ever that all aircraft are being tracked around the world in real time. Before, there was a frightening amount of territory that aircraft could get lost in. Not just over oceans, but in equally isolated regions such as deserts, mountains, and dense forests. Now, the interconnected devices in orbit make it far more difficult to lose track of a plane."
Interesting, interesting stuff. So I don't know if y'all caught that, but they said that, you know, there's places where planes could be lost. That without satellites and tracking, that there are some planes and terrains where things could be lost, man. So we have it in our mind sometimes that the world is so small and really this thing is vast. You know, they paint the picture in the media and in movies and everything that they have it all figured out. They have everything mapped out and under control, when reality is this thing is huge. All right, give me a minute here. Now here we're going to hear them talk about Diego Garcia. Okay, this video says Diego Garcia, the strategic U.S. military base in Indian Ocean. Let's see what you're talking about.
Diego Garcia was discovered by Portuguese explorers in the early 16th century, and its name is believed to have come from either an early explorer's ship captain or its navigator. Under the Treaty of Paris of 1814, many of the islands in the Indian Ocean under the control of the French were ceded to Britain, including the Mauritius and the Chagos Islands. In 1965, these islands became the British Indian Ocean Territory. During the 19th century, the islands were used as plantations, producing copra and coconut oils. Plantations on Diego Garcia were closed in 1971, following a decision to establish the U.S. Navy Support Facility based on the 1966 exchange of notes between Great Britain and the United States. In January 1971, U.S. Navy Seabees were transported to the island by landing ship to begin building the U.S. military presence on Diego Garcia. Today, Diego Garcia is home to 15 separate commands, including the U.S. Navy Support Facility, which functions as the host command. Its position is strategically vital for the U.S., allowing it to project its military strength northwest into the Middle East and South Asia, east into Asia, or west into Africa. It's the most important U.S. base in the Indian Ocean region.
All right, now, I'm sorry, guys, for that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do all behind it. I didn't know I was going to. But they did give you a lot of info about Diego Garcia. They talked to you a lot about the military presence there. And they talked about some things that I would love to expand on in another podcast. But they were talking about how the United States acquired Diego Garcia and that they were given permission to utilize it for development of a naval base and so on by the British. I want you to understand how important this is, this part, the British, because we're oftentimes looking for who to place a blame on or who's responsible in these land seizures and things like this. And I want you guys to understand that much of it is British, the British, and also with folks like France and Spain and so on. But it's through the different treaties and agreements and, you know, this is how the business has been done. And they talk about it all the time. All right, I want to find something here that talks to you about Chagosians. Okay. Now, the Chagosians are the people who live in the islands of Chagos. The people who were living on these islands were evicted, essentially. So I'm looking for something here that talks about that. Chagos Islanders make historic trip home without British escort. No.
1973. A cargo ship left the Chagos archipelago headed for the coast of Mauritius. It carried one of the last remaining groups of Chagosians, the indigenous population of the Chagos Islands. Chagosians describe life on the islands as paradise, living like one big family. They had thriving villages, an abundance of fresh local produce, schools, and an undisturbed way of life. But now, they were being forcibly removed from their homes, not allowed to bring much with them, packed like animals on the bottom of a cargo ship. The story of what happened to the Chagosians still isn't widely known. Why were they being displaced, being treated so inhumanely? It begins with the U.S. setting its eyes on their land for a military base, and the U.S. conspiring with the U.K. to do whatever it took to get that land.
So this whole story has been shaped by secrecy, a lack of transparency, and indeed lies, a series of fictions about the Chagosians and about really every stage of the process.
It's been 50 years since the last ship left Chagos, but Chagosians are still fighting for their right to return home. Since the late 18th century, this set of 58 remote islands in the Indian Ocean was home to the Chagosian people. They call it Chagos. Remember this island here. It's central to this story. The roughly 2,000 islanders that lived there worked mainly on coconut plantations for European companies. The Chagosian people are mainly of African and Indian descent, with their own Creole language, music, and culture.
Ensemble, 10 bandes du monde fait ses gars, tout du monde danser ensemble. Mais c'est maintenant une jolie la vie.
But by the end of 1973, their entire population was forcibly expelled from their ancestral land by the UK and the US, who changed the name of the islands to the British Indian Ocean Territory.
What happened to us? It's more purely like slavery. The way of uprooting people, force people to leave their country.
That's Olivier Bancourt, the leader of the Chagos Refugees Group, a group his mother and other Chagosian women created to advocate for the rights of the Chagosian people. Since 1997, the group has sued the British government multiple times for denying Chagosians their fundamental rights. This included a win in 2000 when the British High Court ruled the expulsion of the Chagos Islanders was illegal.
What we as Chagosians are asking, we are asking to be able to return to our birthplace, which is not a crime. And we condemn what had been done to us, which we consider as a crime against humanity.
Under international law, a crime against humanity is a deliberate act, typically as part of a systematic campaign that causes human suffering or death on a large scale.
Under international law,
in 2023, Human Rights Watch declared the UK and the US had committed 3 crimes against humanity in relation to Chagosians. The forced
Now, I'm playing this because I want you to understand. I paused it real fast right there. Those same international laws that Chagosians are claiming were broken are the same laws that Americans can make claim to. The same things, the same issue that these places have and the things that they're bringing up on the international platform, Americans can bring up on an international platform. And this is actually the arguments that should be made.
Displacement of their entire population, their continued blocking of their return home, their persecution by the UK on the grounds of race and ethnicity. To fully understand these,
you know, for the people in America who had families broken up, who were told they couldn't use their names, who were told they couldn't use their language, who were denationalized, you get what I'm saying? Whose lands were destroyed. Like, you got these places that are hidden under lakes, right? You had whole communities destroyed, where they're talking about places like Tulsa, where they're talking about Ocoee, you know what I'm saying? These different places where blacks were killed in great numbers, even in Philadelphia with the MOVE bombing. You understand what I'm saying? Those kind of things on the international platform can be discussed correctly as crimes against humanity and so on.
Crimes, we have to go back a few decades. If you know anything about US imperialism, then you know staying in control is always the goal. As the Cold War intensified, the strategic location of Chagos caught the attention of the US Navy.
U.S. government officials in the era of decolonization were growing concerned about losing control of the world. And Diego Garcia became the prime island on which they wanted to build a base.
But wait, Diego Garcia is part of Chagos, which was governed as part of Mauritius, which had been under British colonial rule since 1814. Enter the secret deal. The US agreed that if the UK could get them Diego Garcia, their $14 million debt for submarine missiles would be settled. There were a few conditions though. First, everything about this deal had to remain top secret to avoid protocols that required the UK to report to the UN about its continuous colonial rule over a country with a permanent population. Secondly, the US insisted that the islands had to
see, now right now what they're talking about is different laws, right? They're talking about different rules. When you're talking about international law and stuff like this, right? There are rules, and one of them in this particular case was that a land couldn't be like, I'm trying to simplify it, guys, so you can understand without all of the jargon. There was like a rule, if you will, that was saying that, hey, if there's a permanent population, you can't just take the land. You can't just use it however you want, right? Meaning that if there were already a people there that occupy the land, have already occupied it and will continue to occupy it permanently, you can't just go there and do whatever you want. Now, the rule then suggests that if you can somehow rid the land of a permanent population, then you can go ahead and do whatever you want. So these are the kind of tricks they've used and often used to undermine laws that are in place. So to the people, they'll say, okay, we have these laws. And then once all the people and everybody agrees to what the laws are and accept the laws, they go back upstairs into the boardrooms, into the meeting rooms, into the private spaces, the golf course, wherever. And they start to figure out ways that they can legally undermine the law. So in this case, you're going to hear them talk about how a deal was done secretly, basically, where they planned to undermine the law so that they could still secure Diego Garcia the way they wanted to. And this is often what is done in war, and also as a part of the conquering strategy to keep matters quiet, to keep things under wraps. You present to the public one thing while behind the scenes doing another.
Elation. Secondly, the U.S. insisted that the islands had to
be built. Listen.
There were a few conditions, though. First, everything about this deal had to remain top secret to avoid protocols that required the UK to report to the UN about its continuous colonial rule over a country with a permanent population. Secondly, the US insisted that the islands had to be cleared of Chagosians. The UK assured there will be no indigenous population except seagulls. But again, Diego Garcia is part of Chagos, which was part of Mauritius, and Mauritius was about to gain its independence from the UK.
Hmm.
Enter more scheming from the UK. The UK coerced Mauritius to give Chagos up as a condition for independence, and Mauritius agreed. In 1965, Britain established the British Indian Ocean Territory, commencing the violent removal of the Chagosian people.
Okay, so y'all hear what happened. The trick bag that they use. So Mauritius was pushing for independence. So the same way I pointed out to you guys that in Hawaii, they were pushing for their sovereignty, right? They were pushing to have their sovereignty acknowledged. They were saying, hey, you guys overthrew our queen illegally, unlawfully, and acknowledged it. So we want to reinstate our sovereignty as Hawaiian people. Mauritius was saying the same thing. They were saying, hey, we got our affairs in order. We're ready to be independent again. Britain, you can kick rocks. UK, y'all can kick rocks. Okay? They're then saying that Chagos, Diego Garcia, was a part of Mauritius. Right? The United States was trying to get Diego Garcia. So Britain said, all right, in a private deal, we'll allow you Diego Garcia, but you have to make sure that there aren't any permanent or indigenous people there. Nope, it can't be any popular. There can't be any permanent population there. All right. So the deal was that, hey, we'll let you use Diego Garcia, but you have to rid it of its indigenous people. Otherwise, we're going to get in trouble. So in order to avoid trouble, you get what I'm saying? You have to rid that of the you have to get rid of the people there. So how do you uproot a whole people? You can't just do that. So they made a deal. They said, hey, Mauritius, we'll give you guys the independence if you'll only release these few islands to us. The issue is that the islands have occupancy. It has occupants there. It has people occupying the island. So it becomes Mauritius' responsibility, not Britain's or the UK's or the United States. Do you see how they played that? So now Mauritius lets go of Diego Garcia in exchange for its independence. That means now the laws that would apply to Mauritius and the people of Mauritius and the people of the lands and islands belonging to Mauritius no longer applies to Diego Garcia once Mauritius gives up Diego Garcia in an agreement for independence. Once the Mauritians said, okay, fine, Diego Garcia and the people are left to their own selves. They're cut out of any protections that apply to those lands as they belong to the to Mauritius. This is deep, right? But it's not. It's very simple. But are you following along? The way that they were able to undermine the law was by getting Mauritius to agree to relinquishing those particular islands. Once Mauritius agreed to relinquishing them islands, those islands and the people on them were no longer protected by laws that protected Mauritians and people of the islands under the territory of Mauritius. You know? You following?
UK authorities just Garcia is part of Chagos, which was part of Mauritius, and Mauritius was about to gain its independence from the UK. Enter more scheming from the UK. The UK coerced Mauritius to give Chagos up as a condition for independence, and Mauritius agreed. In 1965, Britain established the British Indian Ocean Territory, commencing the violent removal of the Chagosian people. UK authorities began by lying, claiming that the whole Chagos community, which had been there for generations, was made up of contract laborers and not a permanent population. This was to fabricate proof, suggesting no population needed to be consulted.
I was born on Diego Garcia. You can't offer the US government my place of birth without my consent. That's not fair.
In a matter of 8 years.
I'm gonna stop there. When I'm telling you guys about natural law, when we're talking about birthrights and all of those things, this video is, it's explaining to you the way that all works. Okay? There's nobody giving UK, Britain, United States the right to go to other people's lands. When you say other people's lands, the way the woman just described it, she said, you cannot come to the land that I was born on and do things without my permission. She's talking about birthright. She's not speaking arrogantly. She's speaking as a person who's a Chagosian. She's from Chagos. That's where she's from. Now, this is a very real concept, family. Here in America, we don't understand it because many of us were brought and taught inappropriately. We were brought up and taught inappropriately here in America. We've had many things left out. So we don't know that we have a birthright. We don't know that we have rights as people who are born here. The same way Africans have rights as people who are born in Africa. This is why we are not African Americans. An African American, just by taking them two words, African and American, and put them together, it would mean one who is from Africa and lives in America and has lived in America all their life. It may even mean one whose parents is from Africa and was born in America. But to be an African American, you would have to have lived in Africa at a point, or family derived from Africa. Like, your family has to be from Africa. They have to be Liberian, Nigerian. And even then, you would argue that a Nigerian who moves to America, right, and is born in America, is a Nigerian American. If a kid grows up in America, but his family are Liberians, he is a Liberian American. He's not an American. An American is one who is of the land and only of that land. Family and line comes from this land. And Hawaiian is one who is of the land of Hawaii, not move there. Not an Irishman who moved to Hawaii, no. Not a European who moved to Hawaii, no. One who is of the people who originated in that territory. This is the way they've been playing many of us. So they bullied these people off of their land. They took it. And this is what this woman was saying. She's saying, hey, you can't come onto my land and just do things without my permission. Now, that reality that there are people who have rights to the land, that's acknowledged in international law, family. So it's not a claim that's too bold. When one makes a claim that they got a right to say what's going on land that they were born on, that's acknowledged worldwide in international realm, in the international arena. However, in America, small portions, small people, small minds think that when one says that they have rights to a land, they think that that's a bold, arrogant statement when it's really a truth. So this is why we want to learn international law. This is why we want to know more about the varying arenas, so we understand how these things are true, how they are real things. And so we don't think that people are just imagining or making stuff up.
You can't offer.
Fabricate proofs suggesting no population needed to be consulted.
I was born on Diego Gracia. You can't offer the U.S. government my place of birth without my consent. That's not fair.
In a matter of 8 years, all Chagosians were uprooted from the land they had called home for generations. Families were separated and their tight-knit community was torn apart. They were loaded onto ships and transported to Mauritius and the Seychelles with promises of better lives and compensation.
Three of us in the house, in one room, I recall that quite clearly, one room like this one, tiny room, all of us in that room.
The Chagosians were left stranded in unfamiliar countries, forced to live in foul conditions. What was promised to them was never delivered, leaving them without the means to rebuild their lives.
My mom left Diego Gracia without my birth certificate. And it was hard to go to the doctor, to go to places, because I don't have a birth certificate. I can say that I don't have an identity.
Many Chagosians firmly believe that the emotional trauma of being forcibly separated from their homeland and families, coupled with the harsh realities of poverty, caused some in their community to die early. So much death, and yet, still to this day, Chagosians have to fight for their losses to be recognized and their right to permanently return home. After years of protests and legal battles, the British government finally acknowledged the, quote, shameful nature of its actions towards the Chagossians. However, reparations was a different story. Rather than directly compensating the Chagossians, it offered a meager sum of about $3,100 to Chagossian adults through the Mauritian government. To make matters worse, the UK imposed a condition on receiving the money. The Chagossians had to sign documents renouncing their right to return to their homeland.
The form was in a purely English legal context. That meant that most of our people don't speak English. It was very difficult for us to know the exact meaning of the contents.
Chagossians who were sent to the Seychelles have received nothing as a collective group. And of course, the US, which played a significant role in the story, has also given nothing.
Racism shaped every step of this sad, appalling story. You have a group of almost entirely white Euro-American officials making decisions about a population of African and Indian ancestry and deciding.
Did you hear that man say white Euro-Americans? So he's differentiating. He's not saying Americans. Because that would mean black people. He said Euro-Americans. He's meaning white or light skin or European Americans. He's saying folks who are from America or representing America, but they're Europeans. He's not saying black Americans. Americans means black. American means dark-skinned people from here. Everybody else has to have a blank, then America. They have to be an Irish American, an Italian American. You feel me saying? A German American. You understand? A European American. An Arab American, if that's what they want to go, if they want to go that far. But this is why he said this that way. I want y'all to just don't pay attention to the language that's being spoke to you. All right. They're saying so much truth in these documentaries. But if you don't know the words that they're using and how the definitions are used, you know, the definitions of the words, the connotations, if you don't know, you'll miss a lot.
Sad, appalling.
English legal contents. That means that
listen to what
most
he says.
Of our people don't speak English. It was very difficult for us to know the exact meaning of the contents.
Chagossians who were sent to the Seychelles have received nothing as a collective group. And of course, the US, which played a significant role in the story, has also given nothing.
Racism shaped every step of this sad, appalling story. You have a group of almost entirely white Euro-American officials making decisions about a population of African and Indian ancestry and deciding simply that their rights and their interests are unimportant.
The British also refused to give Chagossians British citizenship until 2002, allowing some to move to the UK. But because of restrictions, some were not eligible. Due to their displacement, Chagossians aren't sure how many of them and their descendants exist today. But it is believed there are fewer than 10,000, with the majority living in Mauritius, the UK, and the Seychelles, where they continue to face extreme discrimination. So after years of ignoring the Chagossians' demands, the UK has finally made an announcement stating its willingness to engage in negotiations with Mauritius regarding the sovereignty of Chagos and the Chagossians' right to return. But many are worried Chagossians won't be properly consulted.
So you see how they did that? Y'all see how the deal worked? When they made that deal with Mauritius to release Chagos, it removed their responsibility. It removed the responsibility for the UK to have to deal with the people of Chagos fairly or, I had the better word just a minute ago. But honestly, you see? And so now they said when the people of Chagos are trying to get justice, the UK decided it would sit down and talk with Mauritius. But it's the Chagosians who are having the issues. You see that? So by making the deal with Mauritius, the UK made Mauritius the ones who have to bear the burden of abandoning these people or cutting these people off or cutting these people out. It doesn't seem like the UK did it. It seems like Mauritius did it. And now Chagosians are upset with Mauritius, not the UK. Strategy, man.
Won't be properly heard.
How do I feel?
They continue to face extreme discrimination. So after years of ignoring the Chagosians' demands, the UK has finally made an announcement stating its willingness to engage in negotiations with Mauritius regarding the sovereignty of Chagos and the Chagosians' right to return. But many are worried Chagosians won't be properly consulted, and their voices won't be properly heard.
How do I feel? Frustrated. Where is my right? You negotiate with somebody on my behalf without my consent. I never gave my consent to anybody to negotiate on my behalf. I want them to stop the negotiation or include us in. We want to sit on that table because we have our voice. In the past, we didn't have a voice. Now, with the evolution, we had a voice. We want to know what's going on, and they have to listen to us. We are the natives. We are the belongers of Diego Graça, Perros Manos, Solomon Island, and all the other groups. It belongs to us. We are the ones suffering, not the British government, neither the Mauritian government. We Chagosian people are suffering.
While Chagosians may have differing opinions on who's responsible for their displacement and what should come next, there's one thing that stays consistent. They want the right to permanently return home. If you want to learn more about the base on Diego Garcia and why the US owns 90% of military bases in the world, check out this explainer next.
So, yeah, man. There you go. What do you guys think of that? Interesting, yes? Interesting, yes? Yeah, man. So again, what's happened and what's happening here in America, you know, don't think we're alone. This stuff is going on all around the world. People are returning, family. They are returning to who they are. They're coming out of great sleep, great slumber, and they're returning to who they are. And oh, here in America, you better believe we're returning as well. I want to encourage you guys to embrace this return. Embrace this return. Okay, what's happening in Gaza and everything like this is, guys, a lot of things are returning. Okay. Get prepared. We're in a new phase where we must now return. We must return to being a sophisticated people. We must return to being the sophisticated people that we are. We've been dumbed down. We've been encouraged for years to party and bullshit. We've been bribed to party and bullshit. We've been coerced to party and bullshit. And encouraged to love that. Now it's time to let it go. Now it's time to love and appreciate the higher versions of ourselves. Now it's time to wake up each day in pursuit of the highest version of ourselves. Now it's time to encourage and pat on the back the highest version of ourselves. This is what folks don't want. This is what folks want to be in the way of. They want to be in the way of us returning to the highest version of ourselves. But we won't let them. Nature will not let them. God will not let them. Everyone who's been lied to, everyone who's been given a mistruth, to understand. Everyone who's been stripped of their nationality and told that they have to be a color, they are all going to be able to return to being who they actually are. And we want to facilitate that. We want to welcome everyone to the return with open arms. This is anchor.fm/215, the Nonstop Working Podcast, Philadelphia's number one independent podcast. Shout out to everybody who's been visiting our website, www.daus.me. Make sure you guys continue to visit the website. And also tune into the SWINT, okay, where we're going to be talking with Abdullah Bey and plenty of other subject matter experts. We're going to be talking to them about all kinds of things, heavy stuff. None of it is too heavy, so tune in, okay? Get this information and join us as we move towards the return. Join us as we swiftly move towards the return. Join us as we return to a sophisticated people, a high people.
My words of wisdom for you this week, no more New Year's resolution. Start your evolution today. Why are you waiting all this time to make a change? You want to wait till the end of the month or the end of the year to make a change? No, you can make your change today. Listen, change is usually triggered by inspiration. So you don't want to let doubt or fear get in the way and cloud your vision of doing what you need to do. It's going to prohibit your greatness. You can't do that. You can't let fear, doubt, procrastination, people, places, things, any of that stand in your way of reaching your goal. Remember, time waits for no one. So if you're wasting time not doing what you need to be doing to grow, not changing what you need to change, still hanging in the same places, around the same people, doing the same things, what can you expect? If you want to change, then you need to do it immediately. And you need to start your evolution. And the words of my girl Gretchen Elise, change is around the bend. So, no more New Year's resolution. Start your evolution today.
Thank you so much for tapping in for Words of Wisdom with your girl. I will see you guys next week.
Duh.
To enjoy more Words of Wisdom from Pink Lee, like, subscribe, and share to Hi Pink Lee on YouTube.